Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is a Pack a Day podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Pack a Day podcast, your one-stop shop for all things green and gold. My name is Mike Welland. I'm joined by Matt Fralick this week, and with minicamp done and with training camp a few weeks away now, the attention turns to how the Packers can make sure they take that next step. And there's a lot of young players on this roster who can really boost this team. And that we can put five names that can really help us, help the Packers hopefully get over that next step and get into the Super Bowl. And if these all five of these young guys make that jump, this is a very, very dangerous team.
I agree. And I think there's two ways I look at this. One, in anything, it's super hard to forecast what can... predictions, right? And we're also forecasting talent, young talent, that if and when they can make an impact and play to their potential, that it's going to help their position group, their either side of the ball, offense, defense. And it's just really going to take the Packers to the next step. And I think that's really what it comes down to when you're in the NFL in any position. You're always trying to forecast what your young talent could do, get the most out of a rookie contract. And we're looking at five guys today that are on a rookie contract that I think if and when they exceed or at least reach their expectations, I think that would be phenomenal for the Packers and their success this year in 2021.
Without a doubt. And so we have five names. We have two offense, three defense we're going to discuss for the next 20 or so minutes. But guys, we're not for sure expecting them to make a jump, but if they do, it will really help. But before we do that, guys, don't forget to find us on your favorite podcast platforms. Find us on Twitter at Packaday Podcast and on our YouTube channel at Packaday Podcast. And you've been doing great work there. And let us know how we're doing. Give us a like, subscription, and all that fun stuff. So let's jump right in, and we'll jump in right away. We'll start offense, and we'll go with the rookie. And this is maybe a little bit too much to put on a rookie right away, but Josh Myers is a huge part of this team already. He's been taking all the number one reps at center. This team has high expectations on him right away, and he's going to need to step up.
This was the easiest one to write down. That was number one on my list. I don't know what it was on yours, Mike, but you take over for a guy like Corey Linsley, huge shoes to fill. Granted, came from Ohio State. Josh Myers played a ton of games. Very, very, solid center. The problem for Josh is that he has taken zero reps with Aaron Rodgers, the potential starter day one for the Packers. And that continuity between Corey Linsley and Aaron Rodgers was great. He's had other centers in the past that it took a while to get that comfortability and just really find that those reps with. And I think without having those mini camp snaps, hopefully, fingers crossed, training camp snaps, that would be nice for Josh and Aaron. But really, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Josh Myers, getting certain line protection checks at the line. He's going to be without David Bakhtiari, you would assume, for at least a couple of weeks. So he's losing a veteran that way. Luckily, he'll have Elgton Jenkins, an emerging star who I'm a huge fan of. But when it comes down to it, like, center position is one of those positions where it's like, not that great, not a sexy position by any means down in the trenches. But when you have a bad center, people know your name. And it's one of those positions like, just like long snapper, like you don't want people to know your name. Because if they know your name, that means you're probably doing a dog shit job. So I think Josh Myers, Hopefully he can live up to the expectations that I hope he can do. He's a second-round pick. You would imagine the Packers trust him quite a bit. But it would be really, really great if he could get Aaron Rodgers' hands under his rear end to figure out how to get those snaps right and get that get everything figured out before the start of the season.
Well, you're spot on. There's a couple things I want to kind of add on to that is, because, I mean, we're both baseball guys as well, so I think the best comparison is like a catcher.
Oh, yeah.
How important that they are. You don't want to know, and a good catcher and like a good center, you notice when they're not there. Your whole offense or defensive baseball falls apart without them. And another thing also with the whole continuity with Rodgers thing, did Corey Linsley get any first-team reps his rookie year? Because J.C. Treader was a starter, and then he got hurt right before week one. And didn't Linsley come in basically cold to start that opening game in Seattle?
Right. And that's well said, and I was missing a couple names when I was trying to rattle it off earlier. But, yeah, J.C. Treader, like, another guy with great continuity with the Packers, or with Aaron Rodgers. And Treader was a solid center. Go to Corey Linsley when he was injured, and Corey took over really, really well, played a ton of games. It's just I really hope that Josh is ready, no matter who's under center. But like you said, really good comparison. Catcher to pitcher, very similar. Some guys have really, really great reps with certain catchers if they're a pitcher, and that's like their catcher, if you will, depending on how they throw and their style. And I think, I hope Josh can adapt to whoever is under center, but there's a lot of pressure on that young man to take over from Corey Linsley.
For sure. I think the one thing that's going to go in his favor, too, is that he dealt with a lot of quarterbacks at Ohio State. I know Justin Fields started for a couple years, but there was it seemed like a new year-to-year starter every year before then, and he was there for a while. So hopefully that'll bode well for him as well. But luckily for him, again, taking all the first-team reps with all these guys around him, whether it's Jenkins or Turner or Runyon or whoever it's been at guard, he's been able to work with all those guys, and finding that continuity on the offensive line itself can help lead to finding continuity with whoever the quarterback is going to be going into the fall. But that being said, let's move on. We'll stay on the offense, and let's go into the backfield. And without Jamal Williams there, A.J. Dillon is now a very huge factor, and the quad father is going to be a guy who's going to be a huge part of Matt LaFleur's system.
Definitely. And, no one's ever going to replace Jamal Williams' personality. Like, he was one of those Packers you don't really see that often, just his juvenile, way he approached just everything, just very pure, very genuine. It never took himself too seriously, and that's the type of guy that, has intangibles in a locker room that you gravitate towards. Always going to keep it light. And his skill set, I think, say what you want about Jamal Williams. Is he a number one running back? Is he a number two running back? The progression we saw from 2019 to 2020 was significant. He, he definitely added another level to his game. Was he Aaron Jones-esque? No. But he still was another piece that the Packers could rely on at pass protection, receiving game, the run game. He was dynamic. And the thing with A.J. Dillon is, does he have a skill set that is unique? Yes, he does. Does he have a personality? Absolutely. I like A.J. Dillon. I think he's trying to build his own brand, and I totally respect what he's doing. But the biggest question mark for A.J. Dillon is, can he live up to now an 18-game season? Like, he didn't play a ton until we got into the colder months of the year, and that was really the time that they unleashed those quads of 28. And he didn't have to be he was an afterthought, really. Like, when you saw 28 in the backfield, you're like, okay, he's going to get a couple snaps a game. It wasn't anything significant. I don't know how many snaps he played, but I know it wasn't a lot. And now he's going to be really splitting reps with Aaron Jones. I don't think it's going to be a 50-50 split, but if you're trying to maximize the talents of Aaron Jones, you're going to want him lined up at out of the backfield. You're going to want to split him out in five wide sets. And you're going to want A.J. Dillon to carry the brunt of those tough yardage, grinded out yards, which Jamal Williams kind of did, fall forward, type back, but I think A.J. Dillon's going to be relied on quite a bit, and I believe he can do it. It's just, you always look at that wear and tear from when you're in college. You play, 11, 12, 13 games if you're lucky with conference championship games, maybe a bowl game. And now he's going to be asked to carry the ball a lot more physical than last year, And he has shoes to fill. He's going to have to pass protect. He's going to have to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's worked on that in this minicamp in this offseason, but he's going to be looked on as, you know, not necessarily the bell cow, but definitely the guy that's going to be relied on for those short yarded situations where he can either spell Aaron Jones or go ahead and get that third and one, third and two to make a drive continue. So I look for A.J. Dillon to do it. I'm excited to see what he can do, and I think it's going to be, you also got to understand, like, the transition, right? Like, Aaron Jones is the running back, right? But also there comes a point where, you know, running backs are a dime a dozen, and if and when, you know, he doesn't live out the full extent of his four-year deal, A.J. Dillon is going to be asked to take the majority of the reps, and, you know, sometimes there is that transition where they're like, hey, we got you for 4 years, but we want to see what we got on this rookie. We want to get the longevity out of his career too. So they might ask him to do a little bit more as we get through the 2021 season and maybe into 2022, but I like A.J. Dillon's chances.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on, and it was very clear when they drafted him that he was insurance for either Jamal or Aaron or both heading into free agency, and luckily they got Aaron Jones back. Obviously Jamal now in Detroit, and that's going to be weird enough as it is. But also A.J. Dillon, I think last year was also good and bad for him in a lot of ways. The good was it saved him a little bit because he did have a lot of tread at Boston College. He got a lot of carries. He was expected to carry that entire offense, and he was that entire offense. So he had a year where he could let himself recharge, kind of step back, but then he got COVID, and he missed a large portion of the middle of the season fighting that, and he's told the story of what the battle was for him in that. Then he comes back and he dominates against Tennessee. So we've seen a little bit of everything with A.J. Dillon. But you're right, the talent is there. There's maybe two or three running backs in the NFL like him right now. And outside of Derrick Henry, there might not be another one with his talent in the NFL, of his size and his ability. The way Matt LaFleur uses him and Aaron Jones likely together on the field at times is going to be interesting. And it's going to be up to him to make the right reads, make the right adjustments mid-play to be able to justify staying on the field. And I think he's smart enough. I think he's got enough drive and will to do it. And he's going to be a huge, huge part of this team, bigger than I think than any of us think.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I agree. And thank you for bringing up the COVID. I forgot about that. And that might just be, you know, I'm going to look at it from a glass half full. Like, maybe he wasn't even playing at 100%. I mean, there's a lot of guys, professional athletes alike that, you know, COVID took a toll on their cardiovascular and just the way they were performing. And maybe what we saw from A.J. Dillon wasn't even, you know, even icing on the cake. Like, maybe he is a full-on, just absolute monster, more than we even think, and maybe he'll tap into that potential in 2021.
For sure. So now let's flip over to the defensive side for guys who we think can really help the team play step up, and we'll go to the defensive line, and that's Kingsley Keke. I mean, the team brought back Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster. They drafted T.J. Slayton, and of course, Kenny Clark is, well, Kenny Clark. But Kiki brings that extra juice. He's a little bit undersized compared to all the other guys. He's got that quick twitch, and he's got the ability to get to the backfield. But he hasn't seemed to be able to quite put that full three-down game in yet. But if he can step in and really become a top pass rusher to help give Kenny a break, and then he can breed him on running downs so he's not a one-trick pony and teams can't slide protection toward him or away from him and run plays away from him because they know he can get to the backfield, he's kind of an X factor on that defensive line.
You know, I'm going to leave a little meat on the bone for this one for you, Mike. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Kinsley Kiki. I think of all the talent they have in the defensive line, he's probably in the top half of guys I like, but that's not really saying a whole hell of a lot. I mean, there's just certain guys that they've invested draft equity into, and, you know, fifth-round pick ain't really anything, but I'm just not a huge Kinsley Kiki guy, and maybe it's because of the way he was, what he was asked to do in the Mike Pettine defense. Maybe it's just because he isn't overly as talented as I'd wished he was. I'm just not a huge fan of him. He's solid. He's a good rotational guy, but there really hasn't been too many flashes where he was, you know, exceptional. There's a few games, don't get me wrong, in 2020 where I was like, wow, he had a play or two here and there what I was really happy with, but overall, just not anything that I'm super jazzed by. However, to your point, like, what is the premise of this episode? This premise of the episode is if a guy can take a next step, what does that do for the team? And if Kinsley Kiki can be a guy that's not a rotational guy that can play actually next to Kenny Clark, and they can have a third guy come in possibly, depending on the certain, you know, formations, that could be Slayton, that could be Dean Lowry, Lancaster, et cetera, like, sure. But I don't know if Kinsley Kiki is that number two guy next to Kenny Clark. So I'm going to defer to you on this. Sell me on Kinsley. What are you really like? Do you really think he has the chance to do it, or are you just hoping that he could, because that would make a ton of opportunities for the rest of the defense?
It's a little bit of both for me. I think he kind of screwed over in college because they moved him around to different spots. He played nose a year. He played a 4-3. He played a 3-4. He never really had a set position in any of his years. And he was fluctuating from playing at like 320 plus to playing at 290 and just trying to find a different spot every single season. Now he comes in, he's under the Pettine defense, where the defensive line in the Pettine defense doesn't have to do as much as they probably would like to. He's not a hold your blocker type of guy. He's a guy who's going to get in the backfield. He is very athletic, and he's got some pretty good moves in the pass rush game. The issue with him is consistency, and hopefully he's been working with Kenny and working with Coach Montgomery and just trying to really dial things in, because I do think he could be, I'm not going to say Aaron Campman, because that's high expectations, because Campman eventually broke out and became a star, but he could slowly make that kind of progression, because Aaron Campman was a similar player his first few years. Bring him in for a few snaps, he'll make some flash plays, but he was a rotational guy, but then he broke out late. If Kiki can do something similar to that and slowly work his way up, I think that's going to boost this team a lot, because they do need that other defensive lineman to really take some pressure off Kenny Clark. You don't want Kenny playing 80% of the snaps again.
No. And you know what? And like you're saying, like, if there's a number two guy that can take that step, I do feel Kinsley Kiki is that guy. Like I said, I've seen glimpses of success from him, blown up interior runs. And like you said, like in the Mike Pettine defense, the best example is Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is a fantastic defensive lineman, but if you have him playing nose tackle the entire time, he's just taking double teams and really not doing shit. So if you can somewhat, you know, make these guys into more playmakers, put them in situations where they don't just have to take on two blocks, Kinsley Kiki could be that guy, and I think he's got the best chance to do it of all the defensive linemen outside of Kenny Clark.
For sure. So let's move another level back. We'll go to the linebacking core, and this is the lowest hanging fruit we've ever probably done recording together here in the Pack and A podcast, and it's Rashawn Gary. You could even put in maybe Spider Garvin as well, because I think there's a lot of untapped potential there, and I really like what he could do with his length and his bend. But Rashawn Gary's going to be starting this year, and PFF has been spamming their Twitter for months now about what he's done as a pass rusher the last 10 games, I think it was, of last season. Rashawn Gary is on the verge of being a little more consistent and becoming a star in this league. He's got everything you want. He's got the work ethic to back it up. He could be the next great Packer linebacker.
Absolutely. And like you said, definitely the most low-hanging fruit we've ever had in this podcast. Unfortunately, you know, Gage isn't here to take a bite out of this fruit. But really, I look at Rayshon Gary, and we knew he was a project going in. Like, 100% talent was there, had to work on some technique, physical attributes were there, had to get more polished with probably just strength, diet, regimen, whatever. And now that he's coming into his third year, I think you're really going to see him just emerge as a star. And he's had an opportunity to rookie year, sophomore season, to learn from guys like Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark. He's had a different, concept, if you will, with Mike Pettine for 2 years. Now he's got Joe Barry coming in, so he's going to have a little slight learning curve, just like everyone else in the defense will. But really, like, he's gonna break out this year. I don't think there's any question about it. I love what 52 can bring to this defense. I think he's going to be an absolute stud. He's not going to be asked to do everything because there's other players around him in that position group. But I think what we saw from Preston Smith last year is he basically gave Rayshon Gary an opportunity to be highlighted in this defense last year a little bit. There were plays that you would see Rayshon just flying around the field, whether it was running down a running back out of the backfield when he was, maybe the second level, whether it was blowing up an interior run. I hope and I pray that if he's asked to be in pass coverage like Preston Smith, he can actually cover someone on a play-action rollout, because Preston Smith was absolutely horrendous at that. But I really think Rayshon Gary is, if he can make that second jump, if he can make that jump in his third year, what the Packers defense could look like. Because now we're limiting the amount of double teams Za'Darius and Kenny Clark will get. And really, I think Rayshon Gary is potentially going to be a star of this defense, just like Jair Alexander is coming into third year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And again, much like the Kings of Kiki and at A&M, what they had Rayshon Gary do at Michigan is completely opposite of what he's had to do in the pros. I mean, he doesn't have to be a three tech anymore. He goes from Jim Harbaugh to Matt LaFleur. That's got to be such a personality shift that it's insane. But where he can really step in his own, be his own guy, find his own role, find his niche, and working with Mike Smith, working with Za'Darius and Preston, and even some of the drills with Kenny, I think that's going to really bode well for him going forward. And we've seen the work ethic he's put in. We've seen him during training camps. We've seen him during preseason games giving everything he has. And you see all the videos he posts during the offseason. Of course, those can be cherry-picked, but he's putting in the work, and between that, running his own agency, I think one of his clients is Kings of Kiki, is something that is huge. So he's got that attitude, he's got the entrepreneurial spirit, he's got that willingness to do anything, and that's the kind of player that breaks out, and that's the kind of player who you feel a lot better about keeping around on your team for a long period of time. And he's the guy. They're getting at 52 for a reason. He's gonna be a building block for this defense for a long, long time.
I know I'm not the biggest fan of Rayshon Gary, as some of our other co-hosts are on Packaday Podcast or out throughout Packers Twitter. But I'm drinking some of the Kool-Aid at this point coming into year three. I'm excited to see what he can do.
I'm a huge Rayshon Gary guy now. And let's go back one more level for our final player, and again, another fairly low-hanging one, but that's Darnell Savage.
Is it low-hanging?
Yeah, because he's starting to get a lot of recognition for what he can do now nationwide. And with the reports of Adrian Amos maybe coming up and playing that star spot, when a lot of us thought it might be Darnell Savage, he's got to make sure, he's got to patrol that back end now, and he's got to bring in that consistency that's been missing the first couple seasons on that back end, because you cannot be inconsistent playing a deep safety role. You have to be that guy that's there every single time, because if you don't, 6 points are going up on the board.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen guys, I mean, the best example is Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Ha Ha Clinton Dix came out as an absolute stud out of Bama. He had a solid first couple years with the Packers, and then all of a sudden it kind of just like fell apart. Technique wasn't really there anymore. Schematically, it seemed like he was off. Just the concept that he was trying to cover, and it, you know, I'm confident that Darnell Savage can make up for that. He's going to have to fill a role. Like, that's really what it comes down to, because more than likely Adrian Amos is going to be that guy in the star position for Joe Barry's defense. If you've followed anything about the Joe Barry defense, that nickel/star position is super important. My favorite person to do that is Adrian Amos. I didn't know if they would shift him down into the box more, but I think skill-wise, talent-wise, he's the perfect guy to do it. And then just like Josh Myers, you know, Darnell Savage has a lot of, you know, he's got shoes to fill. And maybe not as much Josh Myers. Maybe it's more like an A.J. Dillon type of thing where there is some consistency already back in that secondary, but you're going to have to be asked to do quite a bit. And, you know, is he going to be calling plays or executing the defensive calls? Probably not. I assume that's Adrian Amos, but he's going to be kind of that leader in that secondary, whether it's with J.R. Alexander, whether it's Chandon Sullivan, Eric Stokes, et cetera, et cetera. I think Darnell can do it. I'm excited to see what he can do taking over this defense. You know, there is going to be a little bit of a learning curve, as we've discussed, with the new defense. Hopefully that is an easy transition for him, but I'm confident in Darnell Savage. I've been impressed with him since day one. I mean, there was a couple plays I remember in his rookie year where I was like, just a blur. And I'm like, who the hell was that? And oh shoot, that's 26. Couple plays later, you see him coming down from the secondary position and, you know, stopping a play maybe before a first down mark. And I'm like, he's got the speed. He's got the intangibles. It's just a matter if he can put it together when he's going to be called upon to be maybe a little bit more of a leader in that defensive backfield. But I think he's well on his way to do that. He's had a few years to groom himself and been groomed by many other defensive stars in that secondary.
No, you're spot on. There's a few things I would add, and I think Andy made this point talking about Eric Stokes when he was breaking him down, that he needs to slow things down at times. He plays too fast. Savage is kind of the same way. Sometimes he's playing a little bit too much, and he runs himself out of plays. But I would rather have that than what we saw the last couple of years with Ha Ha Clinton Dix, where he was making business decisions and not getting involved in plays, where he was getting tackles by pushing guys out of bounds or coming in late as the guys were already going down to the ground.
And Ha Ha Clinton Dix, you know, you talked to talk about baseball, Mike, he'd be a great outfielder. His first step was always backward. Always backward. He's always leaving some room to come forward, but he never would make a break on that fly ball or that guy over the middle.
Yeah, that is a perfect analogy for what he brought during his time in Green Bay. Savage has that attitude. He is what a lot of coaches, they need a dog, and he is that guy. He is willing to mix it up. He's going to get involved in plays. He's going to jump routes. But a lot of times when you're playing that deep safety, you're not going to take that many chances of trying to jump routes. Especially in this division, we have so many good receivers in Chicago and Minnesota. I don't want you jumping a route on Justin Jefferson. Because he'll beat you. So he needs to make sure that he times his spots right. And that's something he's going to have to really get going in training camp at the preseason to make sure he finds that spot and finds that role. Because otherwise, Amos is going to have to go back there, and they're going to have to rethink everything Joe Barry's doing with that star position.
Yeah, after hearing about this week, I think Andy talked about it. I think there was a couple other people that had mentioned that they saw him, Adrian Amos, that is taking snaps at that star position in minicamp, and rightfully so. That's who I think should be that guy. But like we've discussed, like it's going to put more pressure on Darnell Savage, but I think it'll work out because we've seen, you know, he's an absolute missile. He's got good instincts, and as long as he's not, you know, as long as there's some help in the back end somehow, I don't think he can play deep center field by himself because I think you're kind of eliminating what he does best. But I'm very confident in Darnell, and again, back to the premise of this entire episode, if and when they take that step, what that does for that secondary group, what that does for the position group, or the defensive, locker room, I'm very confident to see what that defense would look like if Darnell Savage would take that step.
Absolutely. I think all five of these guys are guys who are going to be important and maybe more important than we even realize here in June. we'll see what happens in the fall, but I like all five of these guys. I think this, they're good building, potential building blocks for this team going forward, and I think you can both agree that this roster is in pretty good shape despite all the controversy that's going on right now. So as we wrap things up, Matt, I'll go to you. What are you working on?
Working on some stuff with Game On Wisconsin squad. We're getting geared up for the, as Jacob likes to call it, post-dead season. That's coming in a few weeks here. We got a couple things brewing. I actually got some stuff going on this weekend we're meeting with the boys with, but it is the first day of summer. And when this episode comes out, so I'm super jazzed to enjoy the summer. Baseball's done now. Unfortunately, we didn't move on to the postseason as far as we'd want to, but great first year with the Green Bay Southwest baseball team. So now I'm just kind of focused a lot more on Packers, focused on new Madden possibly coming out. I am a coach for Carroll University's Madden team, so that's exciting. But other than that, man, I'm super jazzed to now minicamp's done. We can kind of go back through some tape if there's any out there, and kind of focus on what this 53-man roster will look like. But as always, you can still find me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. I've had a lot of people DMing me this week just about my takes on stuff, which my DMs are always open. I'd love to chop it up with any Packers fan or non-Packer fan about the NFL. But you can definitely reach out to me there at @Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. Unfortunately, Gage couldn't make it today, but you can still find him on Twitter at @GBridgefordNFL. That's Mike, what do you got going on, and where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mike Wendland. That's MikeWendlandt, all one word. And like Matt, my DMs are always open. I love talking, and if I see it, I will answer. Hopefully, be more involved a little bit more as the year goes on. But right now, this is going to be a busy week for Zaleski Sports, where I work as a broadcaster. I think I have 9 games this week, including 3 on Tuesday with sectional baseball, covering the Edgar Wildcats, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on. So you can find all my work there as well. And, of course, find us as a group at Packaday Podcasting, and wherever your favorite platform is, we are there as well. So give us a subscription and a like and a 5-star rating. Let us know how we're doing. And, of course, follow the YouTube channel. Andy's doing really, really good work there, without a doubt. And stay tuned again for more great content tomorrow, because we are the Packaday Podcast every single day. So for Matt Frelick, this is Mike Wendland saying so long, everybody. Enjoy your beginning of summer, everyone. Stay cool, stay safe, always carry the G, and go Pack, go.